Vjerujem, braćo i sestre.
Brothers and sisters, I believe that you noticed how today's gospel starts very personally and very, very emotionally. When Jesus saw the crowds, he felt sorry for them because they were harassed and dejected, like sheep without a shepherd.
It
is not the only time that Jesus expressed his feelings because of people who surrounded him, that he felt sorry for people, all the people. For example, when he was supposed to feed a hungry crowd who came to listen to his word, he said, "I'm sorry for people because they've been with me for 3 days and they have nothing to eat."
That
sorry bore a miraculous multiplication of bread and fish, and they were miraculously fed. This time evangelist says that Jesus felt sorry for them, but not because the gathered crowd had nothing to eat. But the reason this time is much deeper and more serious. It is not referring the physical, but not more, the spiritual need, which is recognized in the words of evangelists, because they were harassed and dejected like sheep without shepherd. In this feeling sorry, Jesus for sure is looking even further from this, above the gathered crowd. Let us remember how already in the Old Covenant the image of shepherd and flock defines intimate connection of God with his chosen people. Starting from this Old Covenant image, Jesus sees his role in this, so that as good shepherd he may gather all and bring them all into one flock, so that it may be, as he says, one flock and one shepherd. In the spirit he is looking at other, more numerous multitudes that are waiting for him to feed them with the food of his word, of his gospel. Evangelists plastically expressed it in the conversation between Jesus and disciples, in the moment when woman Samaritan left and went to proclaim to her own that she found Messiah to bring them all to him. And without special reason, Jesus spoke to his disciples, "Raise your eyes and see the fields. They're ready for harvest." This time, Jesus does not ask from his disciples to feed crowds with bread, but he is expecting from them much more important cooperation in gathering the dispersed children of God and the new people of God in the church. First, he reminds them, we have set forward, the real condition of mankind, and then he addresses them clear call. The harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to the harvest, to his harvest. We can freely say, brothers and sisters, that this is the birthday of Christian missions, that is, mission of the church in the service of proclaiming the gospel. The missions did not come as Jesus commanded only or alone, but it was born from his heart, which deeply felt sorry over human misery without God. Holy Scripture of the Old Covenant already offers us many examples how God and man cannot go without each other. Although sometimes that relation was burdened with misunderstandings, even but people were falling apart from God. In spite of this, God from his side does everything to get man for his own covenant of friendship and love. Man carries within himself deep need for God's nearness and inclination, but on the other side is carrying hardly explained inclination to be too proud and unfaithfulness towards God and his commandments. However, even then, when he's wandering without God, far from God, man always remains subject of God's love. God's heart is always soft for man, no matter what he is like. Jesus in one moment felt sorry over the afflictions of his people that surround him. God, long time ago, felt sorry over the misery of all the people in Egyptian slavery, and he sent Moses to them. He heard their crying for help, and he could not remain deaf to them. That story so many times was repeated after, when God sent judges, kings to his people, or maybe prophets, to defend them and to protect them. They all felt that they are not ready for their mission, but they can lean on God in everything God who sent them. That is his promise, that he remained faithful to all the time. Their strength is not in human right hand, but only in confidence in God. The God's compassion towards his people found its strongest expression and the climax, the pinnacle, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This time, people of God are ready. They didn't have king or prophets. Truly, it's similar to the flock wandering without shepherd, without finding true pasture that is exposed to different dangers. That is why Jesus sees himself in the role of a good shepherd who will gather the dispersed people of God. On that purpose, he invites and prepares his disciples, among whom in one moment he chooses a special group that he called the 12. He didn't decide coincidentally for that number, which in itself hides deep symbolism. As at the beginning of history of the salvation, there were 12 tribes that only by the time, little by little, melted into one unique people, Israel. That is how now, inviting the 12 and sending them in his name, Jesus, symbolically, significantly desires to bring to their mind that his goal is to gather the people of God of the last times. It will not be only Israel anymore, old covenant chosen people, but the new people, the converted pagans as well, as in old covenant already predicted prophets of Israel. If we ask ourselves, why did Jesus choose those that he chose and not others? Only he knew what key he used to choose them for these disciples. People, for their needs, they always choose the best ones, those who promise them the most, who are recommended by their capabilities, their financial power, their advance and skills. Nothing of this would be found in this group of Jesus' disciples. In contrary, they belong to the poor class of fishermen, or as Matthew, they come from a cycle of tax collectors who were considered betrayers of their people. Unlike Simon the Zealot, they come from among those so-called zealots who were emphasizing hatred and resistance to Romans, and they were not adjusted to that. What could Jesus, who preached love towards everyone and who blessed the peacemakers, to do with such people? The answer, only He knows. But it is obvious that among the 12 there is a place for all kinds of people. The called disciples step into a certain school of life and masters nearness. The goal of this school is not to learn human wisdom, but little by little to come to know and to accept God's wisdom. Traveling with Him to the places of Galilee, more and more they will comprehend all the more what His word means, the word that made them follow Him. There'll be some resistances, like Peter's resistance when he heard Jesus a prediction of His passion and suffering, not even betrayal, but at the end their faithfulness will prevail. In looking for the fullness of life, His mystery will be discovered to them. They will see that He is the fullness by readiness to give His life for others. That will remain His message to them who He sent in His name. Who finds His life will lose it, and the one who loses his life because of Me will find it. Everything that disciples had to live and proclaim to others, they received and they learned from the Master. That is why He did not ask the skillful ones, but those who will know how to be faithful. He didn't ask from them some great enterprises, but obedient serving. He was looking for witnesses for Himself and for His gospel. Brothers and sisters, even today's world is worthy of Jesus' story. Even today, masses of people are like sheep without shepherd. Even today, harvest is rich and laborers are few. Even today, Jesus' heart is full of compassion over the moral misery of mankind. But people of God have to cry out alone for help. Today's world needs priests, but not just any kind of priest. It needs priests who will be faithful to Christ the Master and love Him, who are ready and aware of that they received without charge and that without charge they have to give. To the question, what kind of a priest today's time needs? A spiritual writer answered shortly and wisely, the one who loves Jesus. That is where the mystery of the success is of those who were sent in His name. These few following Sundays, as we have said at the entrance, will be witnesses of many new ordinations through our churches. Let us pray to the Lord so that among them may be as more of those who will truly love Him and in such a way be shown as worthy of their choice and their mission. Amen.